wrapping up the weekend of footy.
Get purple in here and discuss footy.
This is Damo's recovery session for Coat Tire. Call 13 15 52 and let's make it happen.
In he comes. Hello to you, Purple.
Hello, Jim. Bill, Rubsy.
Hey, you got new glasses. You got a different look.
Yeah, the other ones were running into the ground, Bill. Had a new pair.
Very trendy. I tell you what, you are on point.
Oh, no. Am I?
Yeah. Taking Bill 6 months to frame that sentence.
And get it out as well.
Hey, Purple, nice to see you. Thanks to Coats Hire, of course, for getting on board again.
Wonderful sponsors.
Who's got the biggest question mark hanging over them going into round one, which is 3 days away?
I've got a lot of teams in that category, Jim. And again, I think footy being the opinion game that it clearly is, particularly at this time of year, I think you could throw a blanket over Geelong, Essendon, Hawthorn, and Port Adelaide as the teams that I feel have the biggest question marks going in.
Why Geelong?
Geelong because, Bill, I still don't know where they're at. They've obviously recruited for the now, but the now hasn't actually transpired to be the ultimate prize that they wanted. And I know that you can justify by what they've done with how they've performed, but at the same time, you don't bring Dangerfield in, you don't bring Ablett back, and then still fall short. So that's the bottom line as the way I see their situation over the past couple of years. And going into this year, I'm no clearer right now, Bill, and you are obviously privy to more information than any of us when it comes to the Cats, but unless you can shed some more light onto it than what we otherwise see, I still feel they're going to be in that zone, which leaves them outside the really pointy.
Brutal first 6 weeks.
Oh, brutal. And we'll know how well they're going. If they can be 3-3, I reckon they'd be happy with that. But certainly a totally different. 21 players have moved in, and as happens a lot of clubs in 2 years. Total different forward line. When you look at Luke Dalhouse and what Gary Rowe and those blokes are going to do.
But again, there's a question mark over Luke Dalhouse too, Bill. Obviously, they hopefully are getting the 2015 and 16 Luke Dalhouse, but are they? And again, that's just the question marks that are there right now.
And we'll see some new kids playing in the middle, which will be good.
Yes, they need to.
Who was the other?
Essendon, I think, big. And even before the Danaher news of last week, which is strange given that he has had that osteitis pubis, Jim, as you know, and then last week, out of the blue, supposedly, and I say supposedly because I do take the club at its word that there's a calf complaint now, which is going to keep him out for 6 weeks, but it's a really bad setback for someone who missed every match after round 7 of last year, now going to miss, I would say, a minimum of 4 and quite possibly more. And he still hasn't, the way he presented himself, got himself over the problems of last year. Yeah. So when he does start again, be it round 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, whatever it's going to be, the conditioning is just not going to be there anyway.
Great kid. Oh. You just hope he can get a run at it.
Can't get right. I tell you what, they were flat in both JLTs. Flat. Next.
Hang on, before we go with that, they have also recruited for the now.
Yeah, they have. Yeah.
So they need to strike with this iron. Otherwise, this is the second draft of basically no one coming in.
Couldn't have done better, could they, the past two trade periods with Smith, Stringer and Sard in at the end of 2017 and then getting the big one in Shield last year. So they're right to go, and yet having said all that, I do feel that internally, and they're not going to be saying this publicly, but I do feel internally, even if Danaher does get back, I still feel that they think they're not quite at that premiership level just yet. Ooh. Now, things can change, and sometimes teams get hot, but
Hawthorn?
I think Hawthorn, we saw what happened last year, didn't they, with the straight out of the finals, and despite finishing top four, looked a long, long way off it, and obviously, and needless to say, the unavailability for probably the whole season and certainly a large chunk of it, the very best of Tom Mitchell, is going to cause all sorts of problems there. And while they keep saying that Scully is now sort of round 6 to round 10 period, until he's back out there, you cannot factor him in. Again, question marks over him. And Port Adelaide too, just to throw them in as well, they're regularly thereabouts, but rarely since 2014 anyway, up near the top end of it.
Well, the thing with Hawthorn, before we get to Port Adelaide, is they have a genius as a coach.
Yeah.
And he's going to have to be, I reckon, because midfield depth has always been the question mark. And now, as you've just pointed out, their best midfielder won't play. And the other one they brought in to give them that outside run, because Isaac Smith can't do it all on his own, is 10 weeks away. So that's the fascination for me, is to see how this little master of a coach is going to conjure up some midfield depth.
And O'Meara obviously had a very, very good year last year on the back of the three previously poor ones when it came to injury. But ultimately, and again, puts question marks, he wasn't there in that second week of finals last year. Again, the body let him down. So while he's trying trained well, Bill, over the preseason.
Yes,
and while
has.
They are looking at him as being the player they wanted to get when they did get him across from Gold Coast Suns, there's still question marks over him.
All right, Purple, lots more to discuss. What does the JLT tell us? The AFLW, what's going on there? Has the traction come to that comp? And we'll have a look at Collingwood and big Tommy Lynch.
Damian Barrett for Coates Hire in the studio.
Hey, we need to talk JLT, Purple. We've just seen the two games for all the clubs. I watch a lot of it, obviously, because we're about to start calling footy, so you want to see who's around. It looked to me like a lot of people were taking notes from the old Paul Roos playbook of his Sydney Swans coaching time yeah. when he treated that competition with absolute disdain. Now, I reckon he had a few mates in these last 2 weeks. I don't reckon a lot of the clubs are taking it that seriously.
No, I got that feeling too, Jim, on the games I watched. So I think what they were doing this year was trying to at least get a feel for the multitude of rule and interpretational changes yep. which are going to be in place this year. So I think that was being used for that reason. It does get back to the regular and annual debate about what is the right format for the preseason. And I'm, for now, probably 2 or 3 years, now subscribing very strongly to if there's a way we can just go into round one cold.
Yep.
I would really Agreed. Like to see that. Now, I know there's commercial realities to a preseason series, and JLT being one of the sponsors that obviously pump money in, and they will want their airtime as well, as the AFL you'd think would want them to do that. But I reckon the anticipation around going into this Thursday night without Agreed. Having seen anything to do with football from last year's grand final would be something that I would think would really add to the start of the season.
It just looked to me like so many of them were keeping their powder dry.
Yeah.
It's certainly around the centre square structures because that's why I can't wait for this first round
yeah.
to see what clubs actually do with that new rule, because so many were just playing it normally because they didn't want to show their hand.
No, and they're so cagey about it. And I reckon clubs, Jim and Bill, have actually devised sort of plans A, B, C, and D with it. Now, obviously, it's determined by getting your hands on the footy, which is still the oldest way in the yep. book to win the game of footy. But the teams that do configure well in that centre square will have so many options. And what the clubs are seemingly saying too, that space that the two sets of wingers yep. have is going yeah. to become the play zone, I feel, for the teams that can get a hold of the ball regularly in the centre. Yeah. That those spare yeah, wingers, the way they set up, will allow them to take it in a way that we haven't seen in
football. I like the playing on from fullback.
Yeah, me too.
Because they got away nice and quick, yep. and there were some coast-to-coast goals, which we all like, Jimmy Boy. Who won the off-season cup in the media? Do you reckon out there?
I think the club that's regularly won the off-season is the one that's won it again in 2018 going to 19, Bill. I think it's the Carlton Footy Club. They create headlines out of nowhere. Having said that, I feel there's, for the first time in a very long time, some substance to what they are seemingly about this time around. They've now gone public too with a pledge. It's a 5-year plan. They're using the word premierships within that pledge inside that time frame, at least to get themselves back into that quote premiership winning style that they once were famous for. So I do feel they are on the right track finally, but to answer your question, Bill, I reckon they won the off season.
I live with a Carlton fan. And she said to me the other day, Bill,
what?
I would far prefer us to focus on winning games from the middle of March onwards than anything prior to that. She's had enough. But she's had enough.
Hey, that's Sam Walsh. She's a beauty.
Yeah, well, yeah. Ready-made too.
Ready-made, ready to go.
Sure body.
Are you feeling or are you worried about St Kilda?
Yeah, I really am in so many ways. And obviously the very sad situation with Dylan Roberton of last week, where he's setting himself aside for all of 2019. And obviously, some tests need to come back in a very dramatic way, different to what they have been to this moment, for him to play another game of footy. So it's clearly not just 2019 potentially at play for him in terms of sitting out of football. It is potentially career, and that's just stating the obvious, as it unfortunately is, Bill, for Paddy McCartan. As we speak, there are tests lined up for later this week, which will shed some more light onto it. But unfortunately for him, I know you're very close to the situation and you won't be able to relay exactly probably everything you know, and nor should you, for the confidentiality around it. But it's a very precariously placed situation with him now, given that he doesn't yet know the results of these tests, which are going to be had later this week. And that they will go a long way on determining what happens to him this year as well.
Jack Stephen, there's issues there that you don't want to have these sort of problems before you even get out of the gate.
Carlisle. No, you don't.
Carlisle
as well. And also too, the man they brought across from the Sydney Swans, Dan Hannanbury, just won't be seen for a number of weeks into the season at best. And when he does, he's not going to have the conditioning that he or they would have liked on the big money that he's on.
Mind you, are they highly likely to end up ahead of the Gold Coast, who, according to our man, Matty Lloyd, otherwise known as Lordo, has the worst list list ever put together.
Do you reckon? Has he said that?
I read somewhere. Could be the worst list ever.
It actually showed a little bit in JLT. They had a crack.
They had a crack. They're going to need to have a big crack, aren't they? I feel it's between those two clubs down the bottom of the ladder, Jim. And that seems reasonably obvious, but I do feel that's what's going to happen once we play the 22 games.
Let's have a look at a couple of the big boys next, Richmond and Collingwood. All right, Purple, we talked about the new rules. A lot of them have been aired, of course, in the JLT, but the runner, or the runners not allowed on the ground, has suddenly caused all sorts of problems late in the preseason.
Yeah, late in the preseason, Jim, for the people who are the greatest control freaks in our game, they being the coaches. And I say that not as criticism, it's just that that's what they are. They like to be in charge of everything. They're not. And what surprised me about this this issue blowing up on the back of Luke Beveridge being quite smug the way he said, I expect the runners to be allowed to be used in round one. And then Alistair Clarkson's followed him in today, despite last week Alistair Clarkson saying he didn't have an issue with the lack of access to runners, which has been implemented now since Steve Hocking made those changes. So I don't know why they're carrying on. It's not as if Steve Hocking was going to back down on what he'd spent a year devising on the back of two coaches and a few others behind the scenes making some pretty loud noises. That's not how Steve Hocking's wired, is it, Bill?
No, not at all.
And he's again made it very clear today, we're not changing what we said. So it's wasted breath, and so it should be, given there's been notice for these coaches for a long time.
I would have thought the opposite. I would have thought if you publicly clip Steve Hocking, he's less likely to do it.
Mm. Oh, I think that's right. What's happening. Yeah.
Exactly.
When you look at him, he's got that sort of pretty set jaw, and I reckon he's not going anywhere.
No.
Of all of them, though, that's the one that I find a bit... I don't know why we have to go quite to that extreme. I agree that the runners spend too much time on the ground.
Yeah.
But completely getting rid of them, I think, is probably a step further than they needed to go.
Middle ground.
I don't have an issue with it, but I do listen to the coaches when they do say what you're saying. Maybe reduce it to 3, 4, 5, 6 times a quarter, you know, without having the drastic nature of no times a quarter except for the times a goal.
Was there a runner on for 18 minutes last year and a quarter?
That they refer to that being the case. A collective 18 minutes within the one quarter.
Hey, Tom Lynch, what sort of impact are you going to have on the Tigers?
I think a massive one, but I still feel I will stick to plan A with him, and that is to not have him ready for round one, despite some murmurings over the weekend that he may well be ready. They've known, I feel, for some time he's going to need a big body of work. He's only just getting there. They're a good football club the way they run themselves. And round one, yes, it's an important game of footy, but so too is round 4, 5, and 6 when the time frame, I feel, is a more opportune time for him to resume his career at his new club. And I can't see how it just won't work. I mean, it's going to require Jack Riewoldt to get his head around a lot of things. But but he's obviously party to the decision, signed off on it, and you'd think it would benefit him once he does get his head around it, as he no doubt will.
A couple of weird injuries, or not sure. Ben Jacobs?
It's a really strange one, Bill. This played out in the back half of last year when he was unavailable for North Melbourne, and there were so many possibilities around concussion, around a sinus problem, around an ear problem, and all sorts of problems. But they're no clearer as it is right now on what it actually is that has caused him to be feeling strange and woozy at times. And as such, speaking about question marks before, Bill, he's got one over his head as well.
Liam Pickens, same?
Yeah, same. Very much the same. It's look, the club will keep saying that he's doing everything right toward the possibility of returning, but as far as I see it, Bill, he's still a long way away from that leap from where he is training to possibly be end up being back on an AFL ground.
Just on that, Dale Morris, we must send our best wishes to him. He's one of our favourites, so good luck tomorrow.
What about the Maggies? How have you assessed their lead up to round one?
Done it really well, I think, Jim. On the back of now having the conviction that what they will be able to do is right at the very high end, and they've been able to then have that off-season with that luxury. I know they've gone about their work quite differently to this time last year. They've got that self-assuredness without being cocky about it. Obviously, the addition of Beams is huge within that.
Now,
he's back. He's had a few issues with fitness over the off season, but he's right to go. Clearly, he's up and running.
Darcy Moore back.
Access in some form, and whether that form ends up being 12 games, but in some form to Daniel Wells. So. Yep. there's nothing but positives the way they are preparing for this year, and you'd expect them to be thereabouts once again. The only asterisk on that is that their draw is significantly more difficult than it was last year, given that they came from that middle tier of clubs, the way the fixture is structured.
They lose round one, so that's disappointing.
Do they? On Friday night,
yeah,
do they?
Yeah, they do.
Two things, Purple. Firstly, loved the North Melbourne vision of Magic Door coming back to train with all the boys. Just brilliant. Talks about how loved he is in amongst that group. If you haven't seen it, get on the North Melbourne website and watch his first active session back on the older G machine. Just nuts. Right. Secondly, Saturday rub.
Oh,
coming up.
Oh, what's happening?
Midday. Now, our man, the big briser, the big bristle, he's taken the whole thing to a new level, Purple, and he's got you in his sights.
Well, Jim, it's funny because he spent the whole off-season having this image makeover about being presentable to the public as Nice Brian.
Yep.
And yet, in the past 48 hours, I see he's gone back to old Brian, who was nasty and aggressive and very confrontational, Brian.
So there is, this Saturday, Bill, a new segment.
There is.
Well, the Roma... Old roaming Brian.
Roaming Brian.
He's not just roaming within the rooms now.
Oh no,
he's out and about in Victoria.
Yeah,
and very soon to go overseas.
Well, he's done that.
So Purple has put the microscope on exactly what he's been doing and where he's been.
Well, also
it needs to be brought to our listeners' attention, Jim, what he's been up to.
And his lawn house, of course.
Yes.
Oh, sorry, on the seaside. But he's gone all solar powered, Jim.
Off the grid.
Off the grid and running out of power. So you imagine the big fella in the shower and it just goes, come on, Brian.
Come on, Brian.
Brian.
So that is coming up Saturday.
Oh, and he was warm. He's supposed to be warm, as you said, but there's no warm Brian.
No, well, he's made some comments to the
Damien Barrett yesterday. Has his head up his arm.
I'm telling you, make sure you're listening from midday Saturday. We cannot wait for that.
Can you help me, Bill, if I do take him on again? Because I get scared when he does fire up.
You know me, the old blancmange.
A midweek rub. We'll see you Wednesday.
We'll see you Wednesday.
Nice, look forward to that.
Yeah, Damien.
That was Damo's recovery session for Coates Hire. Call 13 15 52 and let's make it happen.